celebrate today that our God has been faithful through generations. This is Next Gen Weekend, where we're looking back to see God was faithful then, He's gonna be faithful now. Can we celebrate the baptisms, the next generation we got to see today? Continue celebrating when you hear this, guys. Today, before today started, we had 347 Next Gen baptisms year to date. God is moving. Church, go ahead, grab a seat. We're gonna jump right in. You know, Next Gen has a special spot in my heart. It's where I got my start. Some of you know I've been on staff about 12 years now, but served before that, and it was in Next Gen where I got my start. I actually pulled up this picture from front of the first events I got to do. Maybe you can't see me. It's because I was the panda. Some people started from the bottom. I started as a panda. But this is where I got my start. It was where I delivered some of my first sermons. I think we have a picture of that as well. Yeah. Look at God's grace on me right now. I think that day I was teaching them how to be a T-Rex. I must have been. I don't know why my arms are like this, but God showed and did so much in my time in Next Gen. And last summer, I actually got to go with the high school students to camp, and it was unbelievable. I was a small group leader for some boys, and it was a time. Like, we're in the dorms one night. I mean, and high school boys are high school boys, you know? And they're doing stuff, doing push-ups in the hallway, getting ready for the beach day, as they do. And one of them walks by me as I'm standing there, and he's like, "Bro, anybody ever tell you you look like that dude that preaches at church?" I said, bro, I get that a lot. And he walked away. I hope today is the day that he realizes we are the same person. But it was an incredible trip. We had this beach day where I also got to experience something I've never experienced before. They picked me up and threw me into the lake. Now, I heard that this was gonna happen, and I let them know it's not going to happen. But I changed my mind. One of two things. One, the way they presented it to me. They were very kind. Two, there's a piece of wisdom I learned a long time ago that I thought helpful, was I didn't know how many it would have taken for them to throw me into the lake, but I knew how many they were gonna use. You know what I mean? There was a big crowd of them. But this, I think we even have drone footage of my commitment to the next generation. I'm the one being held right there, which I'm cool with. This is gonna be fine, until at the last moment, they decide to lift me over their heads and then drop me into the water. But like I said, there's a special spot there in the lake and in my heart for them. But it's not just me, it's our church. Next Gen has a special spot in our church. For those of you who don't know, our church got started in 1834. That means there has been just a dedication to the next generation that we want to pass on the faith. And as we started our Awaken initiative, that was a crucial part of it, of release the church. We want to reach the next generation, creating content for biblical literacy, parent equipping, so that we can all come together because of how important it is that we raise up the next generation. And a small snapshot of that is what that partnership is looking like, to get so many families coming together to send their kids to camp. And I have the numbers here, and I want to celebrate them before you because each number represents someone in Next Gen ministry. Look at this. We had 501 at high school camp, 231 at middle school camp, 355 at kids camp, over 1,000 kids. This represents big decisions that were made for families to cut out and to create space so that they could go unplug and be completely poured into by leaders and to put themselves into situations where they could learn more and more about Jesus. And every year we hear the fruit. We get to see the fruit with the baptisms when they come back of what God did. And it's not just that. It's not just that Next Gen has a special spot in my heart or in the heart of our church. Next Gen has a special spot in the heart of God. If you notice, there's this pattern all throughout Scripture where God rescues His people, God teaches his people. Then he makes it very clear, don't let this end with you. Pass it on to the next generation. We looked at this verse a few weeks ago, but I want to circle back to it. It's Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. But it doesn't end there with them or with that day. Look at what he says. Repeat them again and again to your children. What God knew and what we've been able to see from history is how quickly we can forget. God would do these incredible things. He would save his people, and they would go along for a short time, holding on to every word he said. But then it felt like they had almost spiritual amnesia, and they would forget who God is, and they would take things back into their own hands. And that same thing can be true of us. If we don't keep God at the forefront, if we're not committed to passing down the faith, then the next generation runs the risk of growing up without it. That's the consequence. And there's actually a haunting verse in Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Look at this. It says, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. Think about that. We're not talking hundreds and hundreds of years. It was one generation that didn't pass the baton, and the next one grew up without knowing God or the mighty acts that he had done. That's what I want to call us to today. That's why this celebration is so important. We know God is going to be faithful to this next generation. What does it look like for us to partner with him so that that verse in Judges isn't true about us? So that the legacy that started here in 1834 continues and on and on and on until Jesus returns. That's the kind of church we want to be. Anybody else here committed to serving and pouring into the next generation? That's what we're going to be looking at today. And as I was studying that verse in Judges, it stood out to me like they didn't know the mighty acts of God. And I started looking through that, and then Psalm 145 popped up. And it feels like it speaks almost directly to what happens in Judges. And Psalm 145 is actually David's last psalm, King David, who lived this incredible life, ups and downs with God for sure. But now he's at the end of his life, penning his last psalm. This is almost some of the most important things that he wants to pass on to the next generation. Look at what he says. Psalm 145, verse 4. He says, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor. And your wonderful miracles, your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. What a vision for the people of God. That coming out of the mouths of everyone, old and young, about the greatness and the goodness and the mighty acts of God, like that's what we need to do. So how do we ensure that the next generation doesn't grow up without knowing God? We tell them over and over and over again about who God is and what he's done. Like, let's be clear about what we are teaching and telling the next generation. Because a lot of times, when it comes to kids in church, we kind of bypass that first part of knowing God and focusing on him and his mighty works, and we get straight to, like, we want to raise them up right. We want them to have good morals and be good children, and I get it. I have a bunch of these at home. I'm talking about kids, okay? And maybe what you've noticed is that they come with some assembly required. Like, they need some software updates as they get loading. You're like, whoa, I didn't even know you knew how to do. Who taught you how to lie? Why are you so violent? We need to go to church and help. We need some help. You get to this spot where you're like, I need some help raising these kids up to be productive members of society. And that's usually, a lot of times, our primary focus. We're going to bring them to church so that they can learn the ways of God. They can have the morality that comes from God. And I hear you, and that's important, but it's not most important. Because here's the truth, and I've seen it over and over again. Kids can learn morality from God, but miss God himself. The next generation needs to know God. They need to know who he is, what he's like as a heavenly father. They need to know about his mighty acts, because morality, behavior, all that has a place. But if God isn't the primary focus, that means I become the center of my faith. And we will never be able to live up to that. That weight will crush not only us, but the next generation. It was never meant to be that way. That's why David makes it so clear what we should be focusing on, what we should be talking about over and over and over again. So let's look at it one more time. He says, let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. When you think about the next generation and your interactions with them, is that what your focus is? Is it more on the mighty acts of God, or is it more of, hey, you need to get your act right? Because what we need to do primarily is to remind our kids, or to tell them for the first time, for their hearts to be captured by how good our God is, that our God is powerful. Our God is faithful through the generations. They need to know that no matter what they face, no matter obstacle, no matter the enemy, our God will be victorious, because there is only one. There's only one who rescued his people. There's only one who carved out a path in the sea and they walked through walls of water. There's only one who knocked down walls and dethroned kings, went against the most powerful empires and never lost a battle. This is the God that we serve. And they're not just stories. What happens is when we tell our kids over and over and we pour this into the next generation, what happens is when they face those battles, when they feel like they're pushed into the corner, when they feel like there's no way I can win, there's no way I can keep moving forward, they're reminded of what God did then, and he's the same God of that generation. He was faithful then. He's going to be faithful right now. And that's what they cling to. The Hebrew phrase in verse 7 gives the idea of not just them sharing or talking about the stories, the mighty acts of God. It's like it's bubbling up. It means it will overflow. They will gush with the memories and the goodness of God. That's what we want for our kids. That's the vision. That when you begin to talk them and you're talking to them about their struggles and what they're going through, and they begin to tell you how they're going to prevail or what's going to push them forward, that's what we want them to default to. That's where their minds and their hearts always race back to, that my God is good and powerful. And David's going to continue here in this psalm, because it's not just about how good God is. It's not just about how powerful he is. There's a whole nother side of God that the next generation needs to know about. And maybe it's going to sound surprising to you, but it's needed, because God is a protector. He can keep you safe from anything. But God also wants to keep you close. There's a tenderness to who God is and the relationship he wants. Our kids, the next generation, they have to know this, that the Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. David is quoting Moses here from Exodus chapter 34, who is actually quoting God himself. This is how God describes, how he chose to describe himself to me and you. Look at this in Exodus 34. It says, Yahweh the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, this is God speaking, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Our kids need to know that, yes, they serve an all-powerful God that should be feared. But at the same time, he is a heavenly father who is filled with compassion and mercy, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love and faithfulness, that there is nothing they can do to get away from him. There is nothing that they could do that would ever jeopardize the fact that he loves them, that his faithfulness is for them, that no matter what they do, the moment they turn, he will be there waiting to embrace them. How many kids walked away from the church? How many kids have walked away from faith because they messed up and they believed that they weren't good enough, that they couldn't come back? If that's you, if you're just making your way back, I want you to know there is nothing you could do, that our Heavenly Father is compassionate and merciful, and this whole church wants to welcome you back to the family of God. When we come and we begin to follow after God, when we're a part of the church, we're pouring into the next generation, that's what they need to hear about, the mighty acts of God. And not just the stories that we read about, but how God is continuing the story in our lives. This is the call. Tell the next generation what God has done, both in his word and in your life. So I'm not just always pointing back to the stories of what God did then. I'm letting them in. I'm being vulnerable of who I was when God met me. I'm expressing to them how I fell short and I got to experience the forgiveness of God. I get to tell them that I am who I am. You may think I'm a superman or superwoman. You may think that I'm this great person. Can I tell you that I am who I am only by the grace of God, and that grace is available for you? We need to be open and honest and vulnerable with our kids and tell them the stories about how he saved us, what it feels like to taste the forgiveness of God, and how he can right-size everything. When you think about what you're teaching the next generation, is that what it is? Because there's one other thing, too, that I want to point to, and it's less in what we share, it's more in how we share it, if that makes sense. There was a word that David uses that I think we need to make sure that it's true of us as well. When he talked about the next generation, look at what he says. He says, they will sing with joy about your righteousness. It's not just that they will sing about your righteousness. It's not just that they will go to church. It's not just that they will take them to kids' ministry. It is that they will have a joyful spirit about them. When you talk about God and his righteousness, is it joyful? Or is it fear-based or guilt-based or you better or you have to or else? Because I sit with a lot of people who either walked away from the faith or felt like they couldn't go to church. And when I hear their stories about what it was like to go to church, they left because they never got to experience the joy of the Lord. What they experienced was just cold religious activities that were done out of duty, and no one was ever happy to be there. There was no love. There was no joy. But I've really been kind of, God's been just kind of working me over with this thought. That what if joy is what God uses to capture the attention of the next generation? What would need to change about me and you and how we're presenting the gospel, how we get ready for church, the way we talk about all the things? Where do you need to infuse joy? Where do you need to infuse joy? Because there's this way that we can go about our lives, and no one wants to be a part of it, even if we do the right things or just try to make it through. But maybe it's missing joy. And the thing that I would point to is, like, this is going to be a joy that is bigger than you. It is a joy that is bigger than circumstances. It is a joy that comes from the very Spirit of God. It's not based on how well things are going or is this a good season when I have a reason to be happy. No, no, no. This is a joy. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Do you have a joy that marks all of your ways? When you get ready for church, is that what your kids experience? When you serve in kids' ministry, is that what they are seeing? Is that what they're experiencing? Infusing joy is so important to us as a church. It is actually one of our staff behaviors, and it's a difference maker behavior. Difference makers, for those of you who don't know, that's what we call those who serve here. You're not volunteers, you are making a difference. And it's so important about the type of church that we want to be that it's an expectation that we all show up ready to infuse joy. Here's what that means. We make joy visible in our actions, attitude, and interactions with others. In what area of your life do you need to do that? Because we want to show up ready to infuse joy in our circles of influence. It's not just that we have to do the task. We get to do it with joy. I heard it said once, and maybe somebody needs to hear this today, that your face needs to be reminded that your soul was saved. Yes, amen. It's a big deal. But so often we get caught up in the right now, but no, it just takes a moment. As you're preparing for the day, as you're going to work, as you're going to serve, saying, I want to infuse joy. God, remind me of everything that I have. Remind me of everything that you've done. Remind me of who you are, and I will always have a reason to be joyful. That's the kind of church we want to be. That's why today is carved out the way it is, that today is a joyful occasion where we're gathering together to look back on the faithfulness of God and to not have spiritual amnesia, to not pretend like what God is doing in this season is normal. He is acting out. He is moving the next generation. He is calling all people to himself, and we have so much to celebrate. The next generation is worth celebrating. And some of you don't really know what's happening here completely, because unless you're serving in a classroom, unless you're one of those difference makers, a lot of that's missed. Maybe there's even a mystery to you of like, what are they doing back there? Because you never go that way. And don't. We have security. Like, you can't just go wandering around back there. But what you need to know, like, what's happening is nothing short of an act and a move of God. What God's doing on Wednesday nights with middle school and high school students, what God's doing through youth nights, how God is moving in every single classroom at all of our campuses, we're bursting at the seams. More and more kids are coming to know about Jesus. That's what's happening there. Next Gen is not a daycare for kids or a social gathering for youth. It is a ministry that is solely dedicated to raising up the next generation in the ways of Jesus. They are clearing the way. They are being equipped for battle and deployed for impact in their own way. This is real ministry that's happening there. That's what's happening back there. And what I want to do today is just, once again, just pause and to look back and to celebrate how God is using his people to pass on the faith to the next generation. And so I just want to start by celebrating. And some of you guys, if you could see this team, our staff team that is dedicated to the next generation. We have campus teams, we have central teams, we have people giving so many hours every single week to set up the environments, to organize the leaders so that the next generation can come to know Jesus. Can we celebrate all of the staff members here at Traders Point? And it's not just staff. The number I'm going to share with you right now, this is a real number, and it blows my mind that this is really what's happening here. Because it's staff, and there's difference makers, and there's 1,570 difference makers that are serving the next generation in this season. That is an army of people coming together to say, I want to make sure that what happened in Judges doesn't happen on my watch. I want to pass the baton. I'm not just worried about my kids. I'm worried about the kids of this generation. And I want to make sure they know the mighty acts of God. And they're making a difference. So I just want to highlight a few of our difference makers right now in this moment. And each story, I'm just going to prime the pump for you. It is worthy to be celebrated. You don't have to wait to the end. This isn't a graduation when all names are named, okay? Because I think about people like Michael Kiefer, who started coming about 2 years ago, and he came under the leadership of Eric Fairbrother, another incredible leader at our church. And Michael's probably brought 15 to 20 different guys over the past 2 years to Sunday nights and Wednesdays, half of which have ended up getting baptized, like Brandon Newman. Can we celebrate Michael Kiefer? There's a difference maker at Carmel who served in the Next Gen, and I'm not going to say names, I'm not going to give too many details. They are a lawyer, and they were carving out PTO time to go serve at camp, and they submitted it, and their previous employer now said, no, you can't go, you can't use volunteer hours for a religious cause. They, because of how important it was and what they felt convicted and called to do for the next generation, they quit their job and went to camp. That is an act of faith, believing that God is going to be with them. These are real stories. Like Grant Gervin, who had never served a day in Next Gen Ministries. And then one day, Pastor Aaron was up here preaching, talking about camp, how we needed people to go. And he immediately goes, takes the time off, gets the PTO, and then sends a message to the youth team and says, hey, I don't know if you'll need me, but I just want you to know I took the time. And they did need him, and he did make a difference serving at camp. I think about people like Pete Moore. Pete, who was here at our church and was kind of going through some stuff as the Awaken Initiative started. And he just felt God stirring him, calling him to more. And he didn't really know what that was going to be. But God, as God started awakening him, where God led him was leading a group of middle school boys. And now he shows up every Wednesday. He attends their sports games. He's building relationships with their parents. He is making a difference. Can we give it up for Pete? It's those little, what we think are little moments in the time of just showing up, being consistent, being there for them. That the next gen needs to know that we love them, that we're for them, and that we're present with them. That's what he's doing. And I can tell you, and I just want to share from this spot too, is someone that's been here for a while now, like attending, going on like 15 years maybe. I started in youth ministry, like I said. So now I'm at this spot in ministry where the kids that I remember in middle school and high school are out, you know. God, good job, God. You got them out of there. But they are productive members of society. They are attending our church. They are engaged here. And to see what God is doing, and the reason I want to share this, because I know there's so many difference makers, and you serve week in and week out, and you start to doubt, and you start to wonder, does it really make a difference? And I just want to share these stories to let you know it does. That I've been able to wait on this side and to see the fruit that comes years later because of your faithfulness and your service. People like Mike and Mackenzie Luce, who they really did it. They're a couple that I met going into high school, and they came, they were committed, they were in a relationship together, they stayed together through college, they got married, they just welcomed their first kid, and they are committed and fully engaged at Traders Point, and I see them. Can we celebrate the faithfulness that God has carried them through, and now they're on the other side, pouring into their church? I think about people like Holly Zeich, who was going through our ministry, and now I just got the privilege of marrying her and her husband. She started serving here at our church. Can we celebrate what God is doing in these acts of being faithful through the generations? I was just thinking about this stage up here alone as we were worshiping. We had Maddie Hoffman over here, who was leading worship, who was just the sweetest, quietest middle school, high school student. And now to see she's back, she's serving the church. Her husband is on staff. Like, it is just an incredible thing to see. And then Quad, Jack Hogan, who's back here on the drums. We tried to kill that man in youth ministry. There was once we were up here on this stage, and some of you remember this. We crowd surfed him from the front of this room to the back on a raft with high school students leading him from the front to the back. And can we just celebrate? He not only survived, he's serving on staff at the church. Like, I just think back at all of these things. Like, as I was pushing him off the stage, I wasn't thinking, you are going to be so helpful to the church one day. But he is. I think about the Fraser girls, Madeline and Jordan and Ellie, who grew up, and there were some of those girls that you meet, and they're in like middle school and high school, but they're already more mature and put together than you, yeah? And so I remember meeting them, like, you guys are going to change the world, and they are. And I think about Ellie, who, one of the Fraser girls who's now on staff here, she's married, she's welcome to her first kid, and now she's pouring back through the outreach team. I'm like, this is incredible. I think about her parents a lot, Mike and Louise, and can we celebrate the parents, like Mike and Louise, who, I don't know how they did it, but they were so faithful, and to see what God did in the life of their kids and what he's still doing is beautiful. And it's also for, like, someone like Cody Wagner, who, I'm be careful here. I'm just saying how the Fraser girls were one way. Maybe Cody was more on this side over here. He was more like me probably, right? And and he goes through the ministry, and haven't heard from him. And then it was a couple months ago, I'm at our Fishers campus, and I'm talking to people, and I step over to get a cup of coffee, and there's this strapping young man that's moving the coffee like this and moves over. It is Cody Wagner, now giving back to the church. He is married. He has a dog. Like, he is a productive member of the society. I'm like, so I want you to hold on to that and remember the impact that you're making, that even if you can't feel it in the moment, I believe through the grace of God, I'm praying that God's favor will allow you to see the impact that you're doing. If it's not in this season, in the seasons to come. That's what it's about. It's about building into the next generation and being faithful no matter what. I think about families like the Bennetts and the Bakers, who served in kids ministry for over 40 years. Can we celebrate the Bennetts and the Bakers? 40 years showing up week in and week out. Do you know how many kids and students they influence? How many missionaries and pastors that some of the first love and the teachings of God that they got to hear were from them? And still to this day, Priscilla Baker, anytime I preach, she will send me an encouraging note, letting me know how proud she is, fanning into flame still the words of the next generation as it goes forward, because it is bigger for her. That's what it means to be a part of a church family. It's all of us going together. I've heard that it takes a village to raise a church, or to raise a kid. I'm going to take it one step further. It takes a church to raise a kid. Adults, not just parents, are responsible for helping raise up the next generation and welcome them into the family of God. This is on all of us. God has entrusted us to share the stories of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ to the next generation, the honor of a lifetime. I don't know what could bring you more joy than anything else, being there on the front lines when you get to welcome the next generation into the family of God. That is what we are called to do. That's what the church is. The church is a multi-generational family. That changes the way we relate to one another. That family dynamic shapes how we interact with one another. Look at the way Paul describes the church and how we should interact with one another in 1 Timothy chapter 5. He says, "Never speak harshly to an older man, but appeal to him respectfully as you would to your own father. Talk to younger men as you would to your own brothers. Treat older women as you would your mother, and treat younger women with all purity as you would your own sisters." How different is that? When you look out into the world, within culture, how the older generation doesn't listen to the younger generation, and the younger generation doesn't listen to the older generation, and the older generation doesn't honor the younger generation. They only see the differences. But Scripture says it's going to be different within the church. There's going to be honor. And we're going to treat one another as family, as fathers and sons, as brothers and sisters and mothers. Is that how you're relating to one another? Because we aren't serving someone else's kids. We are taking care of our family. That's good. Two people believe that. That's what this church is. That's what it needs to be. That's what God is calling us to. We are taking care of our family, and it's going to take all of us. We aren't watching someone else's kids. That's like dads talking about babysitting. Baby, you can't babysit your own kids. Those are yours. When we talk about serving the next generation, it's us coming together to serve our spiritual sons and daughters, knowing that it takes a whole church to raise up the next generation, how every single one of us has a role to play in the church. That's when this really gets beautiful. The beauty of the church is amplified when the older generations and the younger generations come together. And I break it down like this. This is what is going to happen in this next season. If we want to make sure that we pass the faith on, older generations, share the stories of how faithful God has been. Younger generations, stir us up with what God is doing now. Older generations, I need you. We need you to remember how faithful God has been in your life. Your life is evidence. Your life is a treasure that you think for some reason that no one wants to hear, but we need to hear about God's faithfulness. We need to bridge that gap from what we read in scriptures to how he's showing up, and you have the stories. Share them with one another. And the younger generation, you need to know that God has given you a fire and a passion. You have youthful eyes that sees the world differently. You see gaps that we've missed in our generation. We need you to speak up. We need you to bring a fresh wind and new worship, a new spirit into this, and to remind us that God is at work in this moment. Live in such a way that we can't forget what God is doing now. When the wisdom of age meets the passion of youth, the next generation will come to know Jesus. That's what I'm talking about when we come together. And right now, we need to come together. We need to close the gap. We have the next generation coming in droves. Classrooms are filled. Classrooms are bursting at the seams. Youth events are having to be changed to different campuses because we're outgrowing the space. Now is the time to serve the next generation. Now is the time. Our family needs it. It is on me and you to care for our younger brothers and sisters. And so I want to speak to a few different people here in all of our rooms at our campuses. And to the first group, it's a call to start. There's a lot of adults here, and you're already there because you have a feeling that I'm going to make a push. You have a feeling that I'm going to invite you into something. And you're like, I can't do it. I'm just not good enough. I'm not ready. I don't know enough. Whatever it may be, I just can't help the generation. I just can't help the next generation. And I just want to meet you right where you are and lovingly point you to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. It says, this is a trustworthy saying and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. If you're in a place and you're saying, I can't serve because I'm not good enough, I don't know enough, I think you may be missing the point. Remember what we're called to do. We're called to share his mighty acts and his mighty acts alone, not our own. Let your life, let where you are and what you are be a moment to be marked by the grace of God to say, hey, even if God can use me, I know that he can use me. Be willing to show up and believe that God can do a work through you no matter what. It is not about you. It's us pointing to a perfect God. That's what you need to get started. And some of you are like, I just feel like I would, but if I'm being honest, I feel like it's going to be a lot. It's going to be hard. And I don't want to lie to you. It's going to be very hard. It's going to be difficult. But the question, that's not the right question. The question isn't, is this going to be hard? The question is it worth it? Yes. Unbelievably worth it. I can't think of anything we could give ourselves to that makes us look more like Jesus, to be more of the church that he envisioned than to make sure that every kid that shows up is being discipled and loved by the next generation. We get to play that part. We get to be a part of that. And then for others, maybe it's a season to double down. Maybe you started serving a while ago and that sounded like a lot to you, so you said, hey, I'm just going to start with once a month or whatever it is. And I know for some of you as well, maybe once a month is all you can do, but there's a big group that as you've got into it, you know that you can make that move. And you can double down, double your impact by just moving to serving weekly. Kids need a consistent face to know that you are going to be there every single time that they show up. And maybe that's the move you need to make when you think about serving. It's you've already started, but you need to double down. And we have new service times coming. We have Saturday nights. If you're looking for a spot of, is there really a need? There's a need in every single space, but Saturday night specifically, 8 a.m. services that we're moving to, like there is a real need in this time to start serving the next generation. For others of you, I want to challenge you because maybe you feel like you're missing something. Like you started coming to church, you love it. You love coming and worshiping, the teaching. You feel like it makes your life better. You look forward to your time here, but you feel like you're missing something. Usually when we start to feel like this, we think, you know, I just think I need more. And by more, we usually default to, I think I just need more information. I need to be a part of another Bible study. Maybe I need a better preacher. Take it easy, okay? Maybe. Or what if the depth you're searching for won't come from learning more, but from passing your faith to the next generation? Guys, we are not taking in this information because we're getting ready for Bible Bowl or some kind of Bible Jeopardy. Everything that we are given, everything we are blessed with, everything we learn about God is so that we can be a blessing to others. We have been commissioned by Jesus to serve the next generation. It's within the Great Commission. where Jesus said, go and to make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then teach these new disciples all that I have commanded you. What if I told you? I could tell you about a few spots all over the city where thousands of new disciples are showing up ready to learn about the ways of God. What they need is you. And I'm not saying this in a guilt way. I'm saying this in an invitational way. I have so much faith. I believe God will show up for this next generation. But what I want to invite you into is the honor of a lifetime that we could partner with God. And we could be the ones that help welcome the next generation into the family of God. So if that's you today, and you want to start serving the next generation, all you have to do is go to our Traders Point app. Download the app. It's right here on the homepage. Man your station. Hey, Mary, I see you serving there. Fill out the quick form. We will be in contact. We will get you set up with what you need to serve this next generation. If you have questions, if you want to process more or to hear more, you can stop by Info Central at any of our campuses. We would love to help you any way that we can. This is our invitation. This is our moment to pass on the baton. And for the next gen, the next generation that's in all of our rooms today, I want to speak to you for a second. I want you to know the role that you have in our church. I want you to know that you have a role today, not one day when you graduate, not one day when you have a family of your own. Right now, you have a unique role in the life of our church, and the time is now. I want you to know that this whole church is behind you and believes in you. Church, can we put our hands together, show our love and belief in the next generation? And I want to pull from the words of Paul as he wrote to a spiritual son of his. And he was calling some things out. He's calling him to more and at a young age. And some of the things he's going to give him, they're for you as well. And they may surprise you, but I want you to take them to heart. And I want you to know that we're going to pray these over you. So 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, don't let anyone think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in your love, your faith, and your purity. Don't let anyone think less of you because of your age. Be an example for all believers. I want you to think about that. This isn't just be an example for your peers. This isn't an example for the ones that are younger than you. Be an example to everyone. It reminds me of a story that just came through this week. 10-year-old Ava, who is getting baptized today. As Ava was sitting down and processing and talking about her faith with our staff and with her mom right there, her mom shared, Ava has led me to the Lord. Today, I want you to hear this. Both are getting baptized. Ava will get baptized, and then immediately her first act as celebrating her as a new creation will be to baptize her very own mother. Don't let anyone look down on you. And this is sensitive to me because I feel it, and I felt it at a young age. That I wasn't worthy, that I wasn't ready, that God couldn't use me. And I just want to tell you that that is a lie from the pits of hell. Yeah. It's not a lie that goes away with age either. There's people older that could tell you that. That what you need to do is make a decision right now and to say that I'm never going to feel ready, but I'm going to know my God so well that wherever he places me, I'm going to thrive. Whatever he calls me to, I can succeed. Not because of me, but because of the grace of God that is on me. Yeah. Now is the time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Paul goes on to tell Timothy, run from anything that stimulates youthful lusts. That is true. I want you to know that it is a dark and messed up and corrupt world out there that is going to try to tempt you to go left and right in any direction other than the way to Jesus. Run from anything that stimulates that. But I also want to tell you, you cannot make your life about that. If you make your life about running from something, your life will be about nothing. God has called you to so much more than just running away from something. Look how Paul continues in this verse. He says, instead, this is the call that's on your life. Pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. That's the blessing that your church wants to pray over you today. So right now at all of our campuses, if you are in this next generation, birth through 18, from babies to seniors in high school, would you stand to your feet in this moment? And I know that's a lot. That's gonna take some bravery. It's a beautiful thing to see. Can we celebrate them for just standing in this moment of faith? For the rest of us at all of our campuses, if you're close to someone, throw a hand on a shoulder. If not, extend. Stay standing. Extend a hand. Reach out to the next generation. We are going to pray a prayer of blessing over you for this next season. So close your eyes, bow your heads, and join us in prayer. Father, we believe that you have been faithful. We believe you will always be faithful. God, I pray that we take the call to pass down our faith seriously. God, we pray right now for the next generation. God, I pray that as they stand in this moment, God, they come face to face with who you are, your mighty acts. God, that the gospel would penetrate their hearts, that they would know that you are the God above all generations. You have the keys to heaven and earth. God, that you came and took the form of a man. You wrapped yourself in skin and bones. God, I pray that they know of your mighty acts, that you went to a cross and you died on our behalf. You paid the penalty. God, you didn't remain dead. I pray everyone would hear this, that you resurrected from the grave, defeating the power of sin and death once and for all. God, I pray that they stand in that confidence right now, knowing your mighty works, knowing there's nothing you can't do. There's nothing you could ever pull them from your presence. I pray right now as they stand, they would be filled with the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave. God, empower them, equip them, give them what they don't have. Raise them up in a humility, but in a confidence that you have set them apart, that you are making them holy, that you are going to use them in this season to change the world. God, I pray that they know they have you at their back. You are for them, you are with them. And if that's true, what could stand again? But I pray they also know that they have a whole church that believes in them, a whole church that is dedicated to raising them up in the ways of Jesus. God, be with them as we go from here. Jesus, we love you. It's in your perfect and holy name we pray. And the church said, amen. Hey, can we celebrate everyone who's standing? Celebrate the next generation. Believing in faith that God's not done. So right now at all of our campuses, would you stand to your feet? We are standing as a united front, as one family, younger generations with old. The younger generation, I want you to know this, now is your time. This is the moment. As we go back into worship, stir us up, bring us the passion, awaken our faith. You are an example to all of us. Let's sing the name of Jesus together. Let's go, church.